Welcome to Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. I'm in Houston. Padres beginning their second road trip. They just finished their second homestand. Ryan, where would you like to start?
You know, they take two out of three from a pretty good Cubs team. Talk a little bit about that home series. You know, it's funny. We've talked, obviously, about it being a small sample size and it's still being early, but it's not that early, Kevin. We've been playing almost, what, 3.5 weeks of baseball. Padres are 15-4. They've lost to the Cubs three of those four times, spread over two series. They seem to be playing really good baseball, even without a number of their key pieces. What really stood out to you over this last series?
You're freezing up. I don't know. This is why I don't get a new computer, Ryan. Nothing goes right. But I assume that I'm still with this podcast. That's really interesting the way that you put it. Like, it's early, but it's not that early. You're right. 19 games in the season, it's still super early. Just past the 10% point or 11-12% point. Like, oh, okay, so there's a lot to go. But, like, hasn't the offense shown what it is? Like, I mean, hasn't the defense, hasn't the way that they play, right? As long as people stay committed to it, like, isn't this who they are? Not 15-4, but like a team that is exciting, a team that is in games, that forces the action. Now, I do look forward to seeing a team that forces the action and plays this way over the course of 6 months. I mean, it's intense baseball, man. Mm-hmm. And like you said,
you're right,
guys. Like, and the schedule will get much harder. Like, I think the Cubs are good, but they're not the cream of the crop of the league. I'm fascinated, but I really think it's interesting the way you put it. It's like, we keep saying it's early, and it is, for goodness sake. Like, guys have made four starts, but like Kyle Hart pitches tomorrow. We still don't know who he is.
Right.
Right? Well, but like, you know, yeah.
We don't know who he is, but we know who they are in terms of the way they're playing, right? And to me, I still think that the big story so far 3 weeks into the season isn't necessarily their record. It's that they've been able to carry over the style of play that was so successful a year ago, that those players are still bought in, right? That this is still the style of play that wins games and that's effective. And we've seen that. I mean, there's been heads up baseball all the way around, you know, even in this Cubs series, you know, really just well-played baseball. Again, for a team that's, you know, without a lot of its regulars, right? Jake Cronenworth continues to be out with a broken rib. Jackson Merrill, a hamstring injury. Brandon Lockridge, the backup center fielder, a hamstring injury. And I think that that's where I want to go next a little bit. You know, we've seen a lot of Oscar Gonzalez. We've seen a lot of Tyler Wade here in the last couple of days. Kevin, are those guys good enough to patch it, and can those guys stay on the roster in some form, do we think, going forward?
Yeah, I do. I wonder if Brandon Lockridge, you know, has lost his place to one of those two guys, right? And Brandon Lockridge earned his way onto the roster. Brandon Lockridge brings a lot to the team, but Oscar Gonzalez sure is intriguing to the Padres. Really strong kid. Tyler Wade, everything that we've said about what Tyler Wade means to the Padres was already proved true this week, you know, in a way, right? Like, it's funny, he came in and he made this impact game, and then you throw that on top of what they already felt that he was to them. So I'm wondering, wow. And Padres love that, right? Like, they love that it's not like, oh, well, we got to have this guy up. They love that they've got decisions to make. Now, of course, the way the season's gone, that'll take care of itself. Being hit with some injuries. And I think that, you know, probably the beginning of next week, the homestand, by the way, like for Jackson Merrill, and, you know, then Jake Cronenworth is probably much longer than that. Not like past May, sometime in May probably, but, you know, a little ways down the road. So I think that Tyler Wade fits on this team for a while, if not for the duration. We'll see.
Right. Yeah, can we talk about Jose Iglesias for a minute? This wasn't on our sort of our bullet point list of things to talk about today, but we're talking about these injuries and that Cronenworth. I mean, we're talking more, you know, multiple weeks, month with Cronenworth. You know, he's not going to be walking through that door of their next homestand. Jose Iglesias is hitting .278, OPS is .694. Pretty good. We were talking off air a couple days ago. I just love the way he plays. Can we talk about his fit with this team, just in terms of sort of the way he approaches the game?
Yeah, perfect. As in, like, perfect fit to what the Padres want to have. And then, like, his defense is, you just plug him in, and as good as Jake Cronenworth is, I just don't know that there's a real difference, right? And so that's huge. Plus, he could move around the field and be, you really don't have much of a difference. Mm-hmm. At any position, you might be upgraded defensively at shortstop. So, and then, you know, starting to hit a little bit, but he definitely fits into the whole, like, professional at bat, and we're just going to play baseball the right way. And he certainly is obviously trying to do that. That's the thing about when a team has built a culture, which is brand new to me, seeing that it's actually legit, right? Like, not like, hey, this is our culture. Like, nope, the Padres have built a culture. And when it's like that, then players, they know that. And that's, first off, those players are sort of, when possible, handpicked to fit mm-hmm. that culture. But then they also know, okay, well, this is how we are here.
Right, right. It's, you know, I think there are a lot of questions about why they signed him when they did. You know, certainly I have some questions in terms of how is this guy still available as spring training began, right? It was such a key part of what the Mets were able to do last year. But you mentioned the phrase earlier, you know, these problems sort of take care of themselves. Yeah. You know, we were hemming and hawing 3 weeks ago about all these guys that the Padres would have to pass through waivers and all of these different moves because there weren't enough spots on the roster. And as it turns out, guys like Jose Iglesias are playing every day. You see Tyler Wade back up in the big leagues and contributing. And then there's Oscar Gonzalez. I killed about a half hour yesterday during their game, Kevin, reading old Oscar Gonzalez scouting reports. This was somebody who was thought to be a really big part of the Cleveland Guardians' future, and, you know, just kind of ended up back here. What do they think they have in Oscar Gonzalez?
Really, really strong kid. If he can cut down on the chase, and just force people to pitch to him, because, like, even some of the, like, singles that he's hitting, I'm thinking in particular there against the Astros, a ball that, like, is almost anybody, maybe except like Tatis and Manny, like, is a easy kind of ground ball to third base or shortstop, kind of off the end of the bat, reached out there, like, he flicked it with his wrist and it was past the third baseman shortstop through the hole in like a second. I don't know what it was, but mm-hmm. it was 102, 105 miles an hour. But the way that he hit it that hard was like, oh, that was really the first time, besides like a line drive or a home run, that, like, that you were like, oh, that's what they're talking about. So, you know, a lot of potential there. Look, he's one of those guys that I think there's a lot of Oscar Gonzalez's out there. Does he refine his approach at the plate
right.
under Victor Rodriguez, you know, and the other hitting coaches, and become like something of a, like an everyday guy? That's the question.
Right. Because as good as the Padres are, and again, you know, they're 15-4, as good as they are, left field is still very much up for grabs. I mean, if he were to get hot, and if he were to cut down on some of the, you know, mm-hmm. like you said, the chase, if he were to be a little bit more consistent, he could play left field every day for this team, couldn't he?
Yes. And I know that, like, I would like to see him in there all the time and see what he could do. And maybe you can make the argument that a 15-4 team can do that. But a 15-4 team is all, you know, wants results now too, right? Like, how much, it's just like you ask, how much leash does Jason Hayward or Yuli Gurriel get? How much leash does Oscar Gonzalez get, right? Like, to sort of learn on the fly, right? Like, you know, it all went great with Jackson Merrill last year, right? You know, you've got to contribute to this team to stay in the lineup. And, you know, unless other injuries keep piling up and you have to be in the lineup, all things going pretty well, you've got to contribute to this team. So they would just, they see a lot in him. They want to play him. You are correct about left field. It's not like someone's locked that stuff down. So it is, I would say, I love that you kind of didn't start there, but I kind of love that we talked about him early and we were able to fit him in, because I think it is to them a very intriguing person.
What's interesting about him too is he's kind of in his prime, as it were. You know, he's not a veteran trying to hang on for one more summer. like maybe Jason Hayward might be. He's 27 years old. He's listed at 6'5", 240. He's a big kid. Looks like a teenager to me. I was surprised he was 27.
Yeah.
But a super intriguing piece that I think on many past Padres teams would probably be playing every day because they wanted to see what they had, right? Remember Franchi?
Right.
Cordero?
He'd already have – he would have – because he played more, would have played more, would have 30 more at-bats. He might have a couple bombs, right? But it's, you know, still be hitting 210 and like – but he'd be Franchi. You're right.
Right. Franchi. Remember him. Anyway. Yeah, it's – I mean, to me, he's really compelling.
That was real. That was real promise. That was incredible talent. And that's what I'm talking about with Oscar Gonzalez.
Like, absolutely.
I mean – he's super talented. Everyone deserves to be excited about him. He could be Franchi.
Yeah. Could be
Franchi. I mean, actually, as of now, the evidence says he's Franchi, by the way, other than that incredible 2022 that he had, which then makes you go, okay, that was in there. That was in there for basically a full season and into the postseason. So there's more to this kid. But, you know, this is I haven't broken this one out in a long time, so maybe it's not a Kevin Acey cliche, but I'll just drop it, you know. Major League Baseball, what have you done for me lately, right? Like, but there is that intrigue with this kid, so.
Yeah, very interesting. And it's interesting that we're talking about guys like this, again, on a team that is very much trying to win, is winning a lot, right, at 15-4, first place in their division. But, you know, there are some holes still. You know, you think, and the DH adds an element to it too, right?
I mean, and I said at the beginning, right? Like, I mean, when I say this, I'm just trying to provide context, not like, ooh, Kevin and Ryan said, but like, you know, we talked about like A's, Rockies, you know, good way to start when you're shorthanded, right? Now, bravo, three pretty good games, maybe really left some people on the bases in the middle game that you lost 2-1 in 10 innings, but good game. And so took 2 out of 3. All right, now you're going Astros. They've got to be getting better here at some point. I mean, you know, they've got some good players, some good pitchers. I don't know what's happening with them. They're 8-10. But, oh, then you go to Detroit. Like, now, we'll see. We'll see. That's what the beauty of this darn season is like around every corner is a we'll see.
That's what's so fun. And, you know, it's funny. We're sitting here going, you know, yeah, they're 15-4, but who have they beat? Well, this was also a big problem for previous Padre teams, right?
Yeah.
Colorado Rockies were a tough out for previous Padre teams. They're doing what so far, we're 19 games in, they're doing what good teams do.
Without a doubt. They shouldn't be any better than they are right now. My point as we look forward is, okay, cool. Like, you know, I'm just an observer here. But what will we be saying at the end of this Astros? Will we say that the Astros are starting to look like the Astros because they took 2 out of 3, or, you know, and the guys who are filling in didn't do so great for the Padres? Or will it be the opposite? Like, they came in and swept the Astros. Oh my gosh. Oscar Gonzalez hit 3 home runs. Tyler Wade started a couple games in center field and he went 4 for 8 again, you know? So yeah, I love it. It's going to unfold here.
Yep. Padres next 2 weeks. Just again, we want to talk about running into a little bit of a gauntlet. You're in Houston, then you're in Detroit. Then you're at home to take on the Tampa Bay Rays. Then you're at home to take on the San Francisco Giants. 3.5 really good teams there. I'm not sure about Tampa, but these are all teams that are playing, you know, outside. Actually, the Astros may be playing the worst of all of them heading into this, but you know what you're getting with the Astros.
You're coming to their ballpark. Should get into that. Yeah. Framber Valdez on Sunday, you know, Altuve's in that lineup, Yordan Alvarez, Christian Walker, who's started terribly, but he's something of a Padres killer. He's not on the level of Charlie Blackmon or, you know, but he has been in the past. He's just, or maybe I just have, you know, you see him a lot. You go, you remember a lot of his home runs. I don't think the numbers are overwhelming, but Christian Walker's a good hitter. So this team to me is a test. Now, maybe they won't be, right? There's a lot of teams you think are tests, and then you find out they weren't very good at the end of the season. But for right now, I think that this series and the one after it are tests.
Right. Pitching, we talked last time about the pitching improving. Things couldn't have been much worse after that trip to Chicago and then to Sacramento. I've been fairly impressed with what we've seen the last few days. What about you?
Oh, my goodness. I was just going to – you asked me a quick question. I was just going to look up. Do you know that the pitching matchup tomorrow as we tape this on Friday is Hart and a rookie for the Astros whose last name is Gusto? And that's what I was looking up to make sure I had this correctly. All right?
Ryan Gusto.
So Hart and Gusto, right? Like, this is Mike Schilt's start, right? Like, this is like, this just brings to mind the Grit Squad. But anyway, what have I been? Look, impossible, like absolutely impossible. I didn't update the math, but you shut out the Rockies, and I don't care. They are, that's the proverbial, hey, they're a major league team. And then you, what is it? One run, two runs? Like what they did to the Cubs? I mean, are you like, wow.
Yeah,
that is really, really incredible what the Padres pitching is doing. There has been, and it's a, now we're talking real small sample size. There has been a split home and road, right? But right, you know, and here we go, right? Going on the road. Well, I love this. I love that the season's getting going. This is baseball. The baseball season is a novel. Okay, it's not a meme. Okay, it's not a tweet. Okay, it's a long form story. It's more than that. It's a novel. All right.
Yep, and we're just getting to learn who the main characters are. Right.
And what is happening? What's the next chapter going to be? In the next chapter here, it's still early in the book. A lot of pages. If you're looking at that book, a lot of pages. Right. No one, you can't get to the end. Next chapter. This road trip.
Yep. Yep. And then somebody like an Oscar Gonzalez walks into the clubhouse. And in our novel, he could end up becoming a very big role. He could have a very big role, a very big character in our book, or he could just be a guy you mentioned in chapter two and then you never hear from again. Right?
Yes.
That's sort of the fun of baseball.
Well, he, in the Cleveland Guardians novel, if we're going to go down this, of 2022, he was a huge part. And it looked like he was going to be a big part of the series, right? And now he's over here a part of this other series being written by another author. So that's exactly, Ryan. Now you're really getting into it. I love it. The whole novel thing. Let's keep it going all year. But yeah, look, I was surprised. I remember seeing like a week ago, you talk about early in the season, right? And then the season gets away with from you because I'm paying attention to the Padres and this team's been fast and furious and it's hard to pick up. And I saw the Astros were struggling offensively and their pitching was really good. Well, their pitching's just okay now and they're still struggling offensively. But like, I don't know what we're in for here. Again, I apologize, but I have an excuse to be a little myopic here because the things are happening so quick with the Padres. I don't know why the Astros are 8-10, except that they can't hit.
Yeah.
Which is weird because they got a lot of good hitters.
Yeah, it's weird. It's the Astros are 8-10. They're tied for last place in the American League West with the
very Sacramento tightly bunched.
Yes.
It's not the NL West. They're not the Rockies.
Right. The Texas Rangers are running away with the division with an 11-7 record. But what's interesting to me, again, you just look at, you know, this is a team. When I think of the Astros, I think of Altuve. I think of Alvarez. I think of them playing in that bandbox of a stadium and crushing balls, right? Mm-hmm. It's strange, though. They're -4 in run differential. They're really struggling. They've only scored 66 runs all year. I mean, 66 runs over 18 games. Let's compare that to the Padres, who have scored, 88.
Now, they played the Mariners. What in the world is going on with the Cardinals? So they've started off when the Mariners are going to get some tough pitching, but yeah, you're right. Like -4. That's real low. Yeah.
It's really strange. It's really strange. And again, you know, you look at their offseason a little bit, you know, they were prepared to move some pieces around to keep Alex Bregman. And then Alex Bregman goes to Boston. Altuve, I believe, is a left fielder now.
We just saw Kyle Tucker.
Yep. Right. Trade away Kyle Tucker, trade away the closer. Interesting. Again, this is what are they called? It's like the winner's tax, right?
Yep.
From all those good teams, they spent big money to extend a lot of those guys.
What and then, you do there cannot be sustained forever if you unless you are the Dodgers or the Yankees or whatever. And even, the Yankees have shown that you can't sustain it forever. The Astros model, it's been a long time, dude, since there. I mean, Tucker and Bregman, those were the guys who were a part of that first pick, second pick. Like, they were a part of the tank.
Yeah.
You can't extend them all. So we got Hart Gusto. I love that it's Gusto. We got King Wesneski tomorrow. Mm-hmm. The second day on Saturday. And we could talk about that, but I wanted to also, because King coming off that complete game. Dylan Cease, this is the marquee matchup for ESPN on Sunday. Dylan Cease and Framber Valdez, neither one of them, pitching like a top five Cy Young guy, which they almost perennially are. But again, was it three starts apiece or whatever? So, I think it's a good matchup. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, Dylan Cease has an ERA of 6.6. Framber Valdez has an ERA of 4.91. I'm just guessing here. I don't think either of those guys are going to be carrying ERAs in the fives and sixes throughout the season.
Well, it's funny. Like Cease, who, we're waiting for still, right? Like, where's that Dylan Cease? Valdez has shut out the Mets over seven and shut out the Mariners over six and got lit up by the Giants and the Cardinals. And again, I mean, people in baseball are going, what's going on with the Giants and Cardinals? Because they're doing really well. But what do we know about Framber Valdez? Well, Padres will find out whether he's the guy who got lit up by two good teams. Are they another good team to light him up? Or, is he Framber Valdez against them? And that'll be on Sunday. And then Wesneski's coming off two quality starts. Hayden Wesneski against Michael King, who – I always like to see what a guy does after his complete game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I got an extra day's rest. What is considered an extra day's rest, 5 days in between his start. So that'll be interesting. But that was as good as Michael King, which you're like, oh, really, Kevin? Oh, his first career complete game. You're saying that's as good. Look, Michael King has had some starts where you were like, this is no hitter stuff. He's had three or four. He's up there with Dylan Cease, Framber Valdez, other guys in this league who over the course of since the start of last season, like Michael might have the second most games in which he's gone at least seven innings and allowed one or zero runs. Like Michael King has had some really good starts. So that one was, when that change is working, Michael King is really good. So we've seen him. Looking forward to seeing, when does Dylan Cease show up?
Sure. Padres made a minor trade yesterday. Hmm.
I was happy, though.
Speaking of backup outfielders.
I was happy, though, that Brett Sullivan might get a shot there with a bad team that has had a run of catcher injuries. And I think they released someone, too.
Right. Yeah. No, guys have been hurt. And, again, they get back Johnson, who was a fifth outfielder for them last year, ironically, until they got Brandon Lockridge and then he was sent down.
Yeah. And Bryce Johnson caught the final out of the Dylan Cease no hitter.
He sure did, playing right field. Yeah. Because Tatis was still out, right? Tatis was dealing with the leg. Is this just an organizational depth type deal? Or do we think there's a chance? I mean, does Bryce Johnson play center field? I guess is the question I'm asking.
Yeah, I think that they stick with this. This is like, oh, wow. All of a sudden, I don't know what the Forrest Wall injury is, but Forrest Wall's hurt. We've tried some guys out in center field. We got Camposano, who, they still like. You got two guys playing well at catcher. Let's give Brett Sullivan a chance to go somewhere, and let's get this guy who we know can play back. So Organizational depth. Long answer to your question, organizational depth.
Right. The timing I thought was strange. Just, it came at a time when they were trying out Tyler Wade in center field and doing some of this other stuff. Yes. But this is a triple A move. We're thinking.
Well, it is for now.
Right.
I mean, it is for now, but the way things have gone, I think it was a really good sign yesterday. Now, it's not that it wasn't expected, but we all have a healthy skepticism about injuries. So it was a really good sign to see Jackson Merrill, even though all indications had been that it wasn't serious with the hamstring. You know, there was no traumatic event, but he hadn't done anything. Well, on right. Wednesday, he started doing the, you know, you've seen people do it. It's called dribbling. Sprinters do it. It's just a real slow running. It's not quite jogging because it looks fake. But and now probably jogging tomorrow or something as we tape this on Thursday. He and Brandon Lockridge stayed back in San Diego. By the way, happy birthday to Jackson Merrill on Saturday. He will be 22.
Wow. What were you doing when you were 22, Kevin?
Well, I don't remember it. So that probably tells you. No, I was on my 22nd birthday, I probably covered some high school tennis match or high school football game. But then after that, I probably was up till 4 or 5 in the morning because I was also pre-internet. So, you know, there was no newsletter to do. So you made deadline and you were 22 and you went out.
And now when you're up until 4 or 5 in the morning, it's writing a newsletter.
I tell people all the time, Ryan, not all the time, but when I get the opportunity, like right now, when I covered baseball in the 90s, I ran pretty hard. I won't throw the other guys who were, but there were some national guys who I was on the beat with, the Dodgers and then the Angels. I ran pretty hard because it was pre-internet, right? So you did your work and you were done. That's just the way it was. It seems like a vacation now. Like, what did we do back then? Oh, I know. We drank a lot. Well, now being 54, not drinking, is like being 26 and drinking. You're always tired. You're just, you know, you're just trying to make it to the next day. So, you know, that's just from an old man, you know, don't grow old, Ryan. You're still a young man.
Hardly. I'll tell you what, I've gotten to the point where if I drink a full calorie beer instead of a light beer, I'm feeling it the next day. I'm dead serious.
I remember that.
Yeah, it's brutal.
Not that I never drink. I don't want, you know, get the idea. I'm not, you know, judging or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, I can't do it. Just like you just said, there just comes a point.
Yeah. I mean, you're right. Getting old kind of stinks. Kevin, I'm going to put you on the spot here at the very end, even though I felt like you just put yourself on the spot a little. The stadium where the Astros play has a new name.
I'm not going to Google it. I'm just going to tell you
Daikin Park, Daikin Park. Okay.
Hold on.
Can you see it?
I see it, but I don't see the name. They don't have it, the name, from where I can see it. Yeah.
Okay. My question for you is this. Which baseball stadium or stadiums have you just completely given up trying to figure out what the corporate sponsor name is? Because I've got a couple of those in my head.
White Sox has to be one of yours.
Okay,
or maybe not. Your brother lives in Chicago,
right? Giants. It's not Pac Bell Park, but I still call it.
It's Oracle, but I know that that's what everyone calls it, right?
Yes. Oh, it's not. So it's Oracle, not AT&T.
No, it's not AT&T. It's Oracle.
Oh gosh. So that's okay.
See, but that's how it is. I bet you can type either Pac Bell or AT&T into wherever search engine or, you know, maps or whatever, and it would still take you there.
Absolutely. And
I think it's possible the White Sox has changed just when I learned that it was guaranteed rate, or maybe it's just rate now. The company now changed its name.
I think it was guaranteed rate park, and now it's just rate park.
Makes no sense, but I guess it's a big company in Chicago, and no one outside of Chicago, and very few people in Chicago care about the White Sox. So what does it matter?
My favorite part about guaranteed.
I listened last night on my drive to a podcast, and one of the lines, it was about the NBA and the growth of the NBA. It was fascinating. Mm-hmm. And one of the lines in there was, they were talking about old arenas, and it was just like, he said, back when arenas had real names, meaning, you know, like the only real name in that person's estimation left in baseball then would be Dodger Stadium.
Yeah. Yankee Stadium.
Yes, that's right. You know, the most iconic, but the Yankee Stadium 3, but yes, Yankee Stadium. But they all have some name, and it's, you know, depending on how long your contract is, it's going to change.
And it's funny, say what you will about Petco Park. When I first heard that name 20 years ago, I went, what a silly name for a place to play baseball. The best part about Petco Park is that it's been there 20 years. When they change it inevitably to something else 10 years from now, everybody's still going to call it Petco Park.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. That is true.
The way Jack Murphy Stadium was Jack Murphy Stadium, even when it was called something, something, something stadium there at the very end, after it was called.
I remember I was there with the Dodgers covering the Dodgers the night that they agreed to call it Qualcomm. And it was just so weird to me because being a San Diegan, the Murph, and it was like, and it was the, they were on the pretty much the cutting edge. It wasn't a great deal. That's what happens when you're on the cutting edge of these deals. You know, you get your whatever, $5 for 20 years, whatever it was. But when they were going to change it to Qualcomm, and it just seemed so odd to me, like, I remember that they used to give these things out. Now it's emails, but they were called press releases. And it was on this thing called a piece of paper. I remember getting it, reading it, like, what? We're gonna call this, like, so in the story then, we're gonna call it Qualcomm? Like, it was just so new.
It's so strange. I, for one, Kevin, wish we could return to the good old days when they named stadiums after sports editors from San Diego newspapers.
That is such an interesting, you want to talk about San Diego being a small town back in the day, and all credit to Jack Murphy, but like, mm-hmm. that was a powerful position that you could have, and go out drinking with all the city leaders. And, yes, that's a world we have left behind.
I have yet to go out drinking with any city leaders, Kevin. I think that's probably on me.
Yeah, interesting. There's not anything going on anymore. There's not anything going on anymore. We have a soccer stadium now. The NFL team isn't leaving. There's not even really a call for it.
Yeah, yeah. Very little drama in the last couple of years, which means I've just jinxed us. So.
I don't know. But there was a lot of drama for a lot of time. I got to remember, you know, when I was a columnist, we went through the whole Soccer City thing, the Chargers leaving, you know, the ownership change of the Padres. And now we've just sort of settled in, haven't we?
Yes. Yes. Outside of that lawsuit.
Pac-12, I guess, if that's a thing.
Yeah. Sort of. It's not what he used to be, I guess.
Josh Issue, old PR guy for the Padres, was in Sacramento, and I guess he still works for the Pac-12. And my question was, what do you do?
He makes sure Oregon State and Washington State are getting all the pub that they deserve. Yeah.
Oh.
Well, this is a good place to end it. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Padres Astros 3-game series Friday night. Saturday afternoon, Sunday afternoon. Again, Sunday is the ESPN game at 4:00 for Dylan.
So it's more like evening here, just to be clear. Sons of guns. Afternoon for me. You're right. And for everybody important listening, but to me, the most important person is sitting here going to a game in the evening.
Right. And having to fly to Detroit at some point.
Yeah. Thank you, Ryan, for understanding.
Sounds good. Okay, that'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. We'll see you next time.